National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. I'm Cindy Goodman-Lee with Leah Slomber. Leah, could you say your name and the date?
The date today is September 14th, 1998, and I am Leah Slomber.
Start off by clarifying the spelling of some words and to talk about one of the people that you had mentioned earlier in an interview. Could you spell Dr. Grecken's name, please?
I believe it's G-R-E-C-K-E-N.
Okay. And what about Beilinger? How do you spell that and what was it?
I guess it's B-E-I-L-I-N-G, but a Beilinger is the same as an earache, and it meant that it was extremely infected and had to be lanced in order to have any relief.
Okay. How did Howard Heinemann spell his last name?
Capital H-E-I-N-A-M-A-N.
Okay. And Dr. Louis Kishkunas?
Capital K-I-S-H-K-U-N-A-S.
Okay. And you had referred to Harry Singer, and I just wanted to clarify what his position was with the district and how he tied in with the efforts with what was going on with Jewish administrators at the time.
Well, he really wasn't involved with the Jewish administrators at all. Harry Singer was a principal at Westinghouse. Under pressure from the community, he was removed from that position and assumed a position as an administrator with the board on Belfield Avenue. But this was sometime after I was involved with the Jewish situation that where I was asked to respond.
Okay. The last thing is Bergwin School, where your daughter teaches. What part of Pittsburgh is that?
That's in Hazelwood.
In Hazelwood. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is that an elementary school?
Yes, K through 5.
Okay. Please reflect on the transitions that you have seen the school district go through, as Pittsburgh was also going through periods of change, such as closing of the steel mills, the economy changing, and white movement to the suburbs.
Well, upon reflection on the transitions that the school district experienced while the city of Pittsburgh was changing, I feel that the most important was the shift from an appointed board to an elected board. When I started with the school system, there were 5 members, all of whom were appointed. Due to many problems in the community, it was decided to have the board members elected, and this was their political position. Another change was integration. Students from black communities were bused into white community schools. One example was Taylor Alderdice High School, where I was a counselor. While Taylor Alderdice High School was crowded, Westinghouse High School was more crowded. In February of 1966, I remember it clearly, 75 black students were voluntarily bused from Westinghouse to Taylor Alderdice. It became my job to integrate these students, and I did this by aligning them with a Taylor Alderdice student who had the same schedule. There was still another change, and that was the change to the middle schools. Originally, elementary schools were from kindergarten through sixth grade, which now became K through fifth grade, and the middle schools were consisted of sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. This has not always proved successful, and now the board is thinking about changing back to the original elementary school structure.
Can you tell us what the reasoning was behind having middle school?
I think that some of the board members and some of the community too felt that sixth graders were too old to be in an elementary school, and seventh and eighth graders should not be in the same school where high school students were housed.
How did the board counter the white flight from the city to the suburb that Pittsburgh, along with many other cities, was experiencing?
One of the ways that I can remember is new programs, such as the Scholars Program. This enabled bright students to get an advanced program of study. And there was another new program, Advanced Placement, which enabled students to complete the first year of college and high school. I think this was of some help.
What about special education students?
The board welcomed state funding for these students, which they always had, but this was increased considerably. We have one school called Conroy, which is a special school and houses only special classes. But we do have special classes throughout the system for the mentally retarded, the socially and emotionally disturbed, and those with other disorders.
Going back to the composition of the board, why was there a shift from the board being appointed to being elected?
I believe it was because the Black community was unhappy with the board and the way the system was run for Black students. Board meetings were disrupted. Some of the members no longer wished to continue on the board. Now, this was not confined to Pittsburgh. The same thing was happening in many other cities. The appointed board was comprised of highly educated people who were unified in how the system should be run. The elected board was comprised of many members who did not have the experience they needed, and so they were often not unified, and they became very political, which they are to this day. They tend to want to please their constituents rather than look at the system and do what is best for the children. As you know, the city is now in school districts, and each district elects one board member. The board used to have 15 elected members, but now has 9.
Did it have 15 when it was appointed?
No, 5.
Mm-hmm. What is being done to keep students in the public schools?
I really am not sure how to answer that question. The only thing I know is that many of the principals and administrators working in the schools go out into the community and try to make parents aware of the public school offerings and hope that those who have gone to private schools will return to the public schools.
What do you think about mainstreaming special education students?
Going back, special education students were almost always mainstreamed into art, music, and physical education classes if they were able to go to those classes. But at this point, so many of them are mainstreamed into regular classes. And while you want to see every child have the benefit of the best education possible, sometimes this is very difficult when you have special education students in a regular classroom. I'll give you an example. I have a daughter who teaches third grade and has a number of students, special students, mainstreamed into her class. She has a table in the class where these 4 students sit with her because they need special attention or they would disrupt the class. It's a challenge to teach them and the regular students in the same class. Now, it's possible that maybe some of these students are receiving benefits from being in a regular class, but if they can't function, they can't feel good about themselves, and they probably would do much better in a special class. You should be aware, however, that there are some parents who refuse to have their children in special classes.
Were you active in any professional organizations during your years working as administrator, and what organizations were they?
Well, I think I told you before that I was involved with Administrative Women in Education, that this group includes administrators from public education as well as from colleges and universities, and I was very active in this organization, which was a Pittsburgh chapter of a national group. We met once a month at the College Club, which is at Craig Street in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh. Incidentally, the College Club is now part of Carnegie Mellon University. Originally, only college women could join, and they had social functions there, and some of the women actually lived there. I was an officer for the Administrative Women. I was membership chairman and then vice president. I couldn't take the presidency because at that particular time, I was involved with a strike and also trying to negotiate a contract. Our organization tried to give advice to women who wished to become administrators, and we wrote letters of recommendation for them, and I was very proud of the work we did. I also must tell you that I felt very fortunate to be selected as the labor relations person for the board, because in the 1960s and the 70s, most of the people in this field were men. You almost feel like a pioneer in the field. Inasmuch as I was the only Jewish director, going back to what we were talking about before with the UJF, when that UJF committee was inquiring about upward movement for Jewish personnel, the superintendent asked for my help, and I was very proud of this involvement, and I think we spoke about that once before, too.
Sounds like you've made very significant contributions to your profession.
I tried very hard to do that. I thought I was in a position to have my voice heard, and I tried very hard to help people move upward. I thought, especially for women. Yeah. I was also a vice president of the University of Pittsburgh Alumni Group, A-L-U-M-N-A-E, that's the feminine of the alumni. I was active in forming committees to persuade women who graduated from Pitt to come to Pitt and help convince high school girls to attend. I was involved in the homecoming ceremonies. I was the alumni homecoming chairman. And again, I could not in clear conscience accept the presidency because of professional negotiations at the time. But fortunately, the organization was very understanding, and I came what you would call a co-chairman with another woman who helped me a great deal. Another organization I was affiliated with was the Pittsburgh Personnel Association, but I was not very involved with this group, but I did attend their meetings.
What superintendents did you work under? And I was wondering if you could tell us some things about each of their personalities and what they were like as your boss.
Well, I worked under four superintendents. Bernard McCormick. I'll spell it for you, capital M-C, capital C-O-R-M-I-C-K, had been a principal of Taylor Alderdice and was in office when the board changed from the appointed to the elected board. He was mild-mannered and did a remarkable job of trying to placate parents, and he was a very good boss. Dr. Louis Kishkunas was new to Pittsburgh. He came with a mission called OVT, which is Occupational, Vocational, and Technical Training. He called upon me to bring him up to date on negotiations and was very appreciative of my work. Then came Dr. Jerry Olson, who had been a director of OVT under Dr. Kishkunas. He continued the OVT program and was very involved with the negotiations. I met with him after every session. He was extremely easy to get along with. And then there was Dr. Richard Wallace, who was new to Pittsburgh. He came with a mission called reading, writing, and arithmetic, and he did very well with his mission. He was also involved in negotiations, but happy that others were doing the work. I retired while he was in office, and he seemed genuinely sorry that I was leaving.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you.